this, to things that are happening in this day and age. And, you know, I think if you want to understand yesterday or politics or things like that, then we need to look at the day of yesterday as well and see what has happened there. So can you just all say you are with me here? Yeah? You are with me? Okay, everyone is hopefully with me here this morning. And you know, something I've been just keeping an eye on, and it's so nice with all the media we have, is all the things happening in Ukraine lately, all the violence and all the politics and all the agendas and Russia and the West and the East and everything happening there. And you know, I just like to not do the ostrich thing and, you know, put my head in the ground. Maybe we can all ask Johan Potgieter, you know, he's from Oudtshoorn there in the Western Cape. We can ask him what the ostrich does, of a volstruisie. He can, Johan, ons gaan nou nie vir jou vra om vir ons hier 'n voorbeeld te kom gee of iets nie. But nevertheless, you know, I read a very interesting article over the weekend as I was just watching about what's happening there on the other side of the world right now. And it just, in a sense, it just fits in with what I want to share with you guys this morning. And you guys with the slides, you can be ready there just for everyone to see the numbers here. But basically, according to the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute, I have got a few very interesting facts. And they, according to them, for 2013, the global military spending in the world, there you have it, the global military spending in the world in 2013 was $1,747 billion. Now, that's quite a lot of zeros there. For all of us to see, that's quite a lot of money, you know. I don't think we can really have a feeling for how much money that is spent on various type of military, whether it's war or building military bases, whatever it might be. Just for interesting sake, you know, I also found a table where they give all the nations in the world and the amount of their budget that is spent annually on the military. And South Africa, our neighbors, are number 40 on the list of about 140 countries. And then Namibia and Botswana is 86, Namibia is 89. And just a quote from you from a local newspaper recently that said, Namibia increased its defense budget by 66% to $6.6 billion for 2014-2015, compared to the previous year's budget of $3.9 billion, according to the Namibian. Now, if you go and have a look at the first 100 countries in the world, they spent more, $233 million or more US dollars every year on their military. Did I put it up there? Yes. The first 100 nations on the list. You know, so that means there's 100 countries in this world that spent at least $233 million US dollars. So if you want Namibian dollars, you can multiply it roughly about 10. And then you will see there's a lot of countries in this world that really spend a lot of money on guns and stuff like that. Now, if we have to ask ourselves, what does that tell us about this world we are living in today? Okay, do we live in a peaceful world? Okay, do we live in a peaceful world? Do we live in a place where people trust each other, where it's really safe to go around? You can answer that one for yourself. Just a little bit of a few interesting stats, and I know there must be someone here, at least one person like me, that loves history. Is there someone, please, just one person? Great, there's a few people that loves history. Now, you would know it's about 100 years ago that we had the First World War. Just one or two facts on that. I'll promise you I'll just get biblical right now. Of the 60 million European soldiers who were mobilized from 1914 to 1918, 8 million were killed, 7 million were permanently disabled, and 15 million were seriously injured. That's basically half of all the soldiers almost literally took shots. And I'm saying it with a lot of respect, but that is exactly what happened. You know, now we hopefully advance as human beings. I don't know. I'm not preaching evolution here this morning in that sense. But hopefully we can learn from our mistakes, you know. Very basically, my children are small. You touch a hot plate, it burns you. You don't do it again. You learn from that. Now, and then the last part here, also according to that Stockholm International Peace Research Institute, if you want to go and research a little bit on that, very interesting facts. they end off with the last paragraph and they say there, as U.S. aligned states across the globe stockpile weapons, it looks like the trend of violence by Wall Street and its allies is not going away. They may be preparing for a much larger all-out war to keep control of the world. That sounds funny, control of the world. And as the economic system grinds to a halt and the country seeking independent development continues to prosper. Now, we want to ask ourselves, don't we learn from the past? Okay, it seems that in 2013, you saw that number, how much money is spent on militaries every year. And I'm not saying here a country shouldn't have a military or police or things like that. But I mean, I believe all of us here are very clever, and it's not difficult to make a few basic calculations. If we can just globally make an agreement and say to each other, okay, friends, before we all kill each other with all these guns and stuff, you know, there was a time when guns fired one shot at a time and then machine guns came, and you all know there's very powerful, dangerous weapons out there. So I'm not sure if the world will survive another world war. There will probably be only people like us here in Namibia in the middle of nowhere left. The rest will hopefully kill each other and leave us alone in our beautiful, peaceful country. And we will all live in Etosha or some safe place. But, you know, if we just make that sum, just for everyone with a heart for people around here, and we say, can we just as a world agree for maybe for 5 years and cut the military expenditure by 50%? And we take that money for 5 years and we build schools and hospitals and we plant crops and all those things. Doesn't that sound like a good idea? Who of you will vote for something like that? Okay, so I'll be president of that new world order, okay? And I will say everyone at least cut it by 50%. Does it make sense? Now, I'm sure if we speak to any sane person around the world, that will be something to vote for. Now, why is $1,747 billion, okay, annually spent around the world on guns and weapons and stuff like that? I think it's fine to have a good old drinal ach om 'n kroo te skiet. That's fine. That's not sin. I do it myself. Okay? But I'm talking about something much bigger here. So we have to ask ourselves, as I said, globally as this world, it seems that people are stockpiling even more weapons at this stage. You know, and it seems that according to that, now hopefully the CIA or the FBI won't be listening to this sermon, or maybe they should, I'm not sure. But basically, we don't trust each other as this world. Why would you have big, massive militaries and spend so much money? Okay? And then we can, as I said, I'll promise I'll be biblical just now. Okay? If you really love someone, is it necessary, and you trust that person, is it necessary to bring a gun to church this morning? Who have you considered that? I didn't. Okay? Because it's not necessary. Okay? So if the world can trust each other, have not that massive militaries and all spending all this money, I'm sure this world will be in a year or 5 or 10 really a much better place. If everyone can hear this message and maybe agree to that. I'm probably not the first person thinking like that. So I want to jump back a little bit. It's Easter weekend, as you all know. And basically, to me, it's Jesus dying on a cross, Jesus being resurrected, Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. And we can preach a gospel today because of what Jesus Christ did. Now, I think the last time I preached on dealing with Pharisee habits, stuff in our lives. Pharisee stuff that we need to get out. Okay? And this morning I'm going to start off. The first scripture I'm going to read to you is from 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1. And it's actually interesting. I've been preaching now a bit more than 5 years. And I actually think it's the first time I've actually been preaching on this part. Can you believe it? That means I will be probably able to preach for 30, 40, 50 more years, and I still wouldn't have covered all of Scripture. That's something to really look forward to, don't you believe? Don't you agree? 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1 to 3. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith of all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Verse 3, if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Okay, so this morning, Paul is writing here, saying, listen, if you have prophetic powers, you know everything, you've got all understanding, you are a very good person or thing to, and you give everything away, you even become a martyr, Christian martyr, okay? And all those things sounds is quite high up there in a sense, but you have not love, then you are nothing. And he's talking here in a context of the guys in Corinth that really had issues about dealing with spiritual gifts and stuff in the local church, not understanding who is better, who is more important. Okay, and we will see this beautiful called the love chapter Paul is writing on here. You know, Paul intends to show us how useless, devoid of virtue and limited these gifts are without love. You know, and we can do so many things in this world. You could sow this morning, you can be whoever you want to be. But if there's not love in our hearts, it actually means, in a sense, we are useless. Okay? Then we are empty. We are just like shells. Now, I just want to, in a sense, take it back to what I said about this massive military spending around the world. We have to be honest. Me, you, this city, this nation, around the world, does people have the love of Christ in their lives? Okay? Definitely not. If we as humankind, if we were more kind to each other maybe, you know, it wouldn't have been able to, you know, sort things out through the barrel of the gun or have a bigger military and then you could impose sanctions on another country or you need to have a muscle, a military muscle to basically, you know, to sort out things in life. Okay? Paul continues here in verse 4 to 7 and just listen to these 15 things he mentions here. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 7. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believe all things, hope all things, and endure all things. Go and read it at home tonight. Go and study it again. It's beautiful, okay? Paul is writing here and he says, listen guys, if you don't have love, you are nothing in a sense, okay? You can be the guy that prophesies the most in church. You can have all knowledge. But if you don't have love on the inside, you're something that's just making a noise. This is what he's saying here. And then he goes on and he's giving us examples of what love does. Okay, because Paul isn't describing just airy-fairy emotions here. Paul is writing, these things are verbs. It's stuff that it's actions, okay? It's stuff that takes place. So I think we can all just think in our deepest of hearts and say, can't we just broadcast this 1 Corinthians 13 to the whole world and tell everyone, listen, don't you rather want to plant crops or build hospitals or be good instead of shooting guns or bullets at each other? I mean, what's the fruit of that? I didn't even go to the Second World War on stats. There's many wars. There's wars currently around this world where people are maybe killed even today as we are speaking here. Okay, we all know where the civil wars and stuff are happening all around the world. You know, so that is something that really can change us in many ways. Now, just a little bit more statistics, since you all love it so much. If we think of our own nation, you know, I went to research a little bit, and I got three resources, and the one said about 90% of Namibians are Christians, and the two others said about 80 to 90% of Namibians are Christian. Do you agree with that? Do we bear the fruit as a nation of 90%, 80 to 90%, being Christians, people filled with the love of God, you know? And then you can go back every time and you can go and say that love bears all things, believe all things, hope all things. Then I believe national prayer days that we had like, what, a month ago, then probably wouldn't be necessary. So something's wrong here. Either the guys who does the statistics or the definition with what a Christian is, okay? I'm a Christian. I believe I'm a Christian, and I think most of you will say the same this morning. Okay, so where's the problem in this equation? Where's the problem with this? I'm not sure, but it's impossible to say because I don't know every person in our country, 2.2 million people. But I will probably guess, I don't know, how many people are Christians do you think? 10%, 20%, 30% maybe? We have to bounce it off on the newspapers, what we see, what's happening in this country of ours. And even a lot of stuff that's not ending up there, okay? Because if everyone is a biblical Christian, I think things won't look the way it does. So Paul is giving us here all these verbs around love, okay? And this basic thing that we can maybe walk home with this morning is, you know, how does love look in my life? Have you experienced love, godly love of the church, Jesus Christ? Who have experienced love the past week? I'm asking, have you experienced love? Some have, some hasn't. So if you didn't experience it, does Windhoek experience that love? Does our nation feel the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ? What happened here around on Easter? Does people know about what we are sharing on this morning here? Interesting, just a little quote here or something. You know, we can ask ourselves, does it come naturally to us? Are we, you know, some of us are maybe raised in families or households where we are learned to love each other, and some of us are maybe not that, you know, grew up in a place where we experience that much love. But it's something definitely, we aren't born that way, that looks like 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7. That's basically, Paul is almost naming all the behavioral issues in the church of Corinth there. Okay, he's telling them, listen, you're not acting like big people filled with love. Then I wouldn't have been writing this letter to you. Okay, that's why we have it today, because it was a problem back then, and I think it's a problem still today for many of us. Okay, so basically, just something I want to read to you, something so inspiring. The kindness of Christians in the second century so surprised their pagan counterparts that according to Tertullian, which was a church father, they called Christians Christiani, made up of mildness or kindness. These pagan people were so surprised, in a sense, to see this Christians and the love and the kindness, basically the fruit of the Spirit that people's lives have shown. Okay, it's beautiful. Now, I remember last year, July, we had our Blaze conference here in this hall here in Cedar of Primary School, and the church that we visited in Zimba and Zambia last year, Pastor Weston, they also came here, and I was driving them the one morning, I think it was the Friday morning, fetching them at the bus stop, taking them. They were to live with someone in church for the weekend in, I think it was either Eros or Klein Windhoek. And we were driving there, we visited them there in that beautiful Zimba. And I remember as we drove through Klein Windhoek and Eros, and I think maybe even not Ludwigsdorf, but probably looks the same. He asked me a very profound question. He said, Pastor, how do you reach people in the city? Because I see 3, 4, 5 meter walls with electric fences, with signs that says, be careful, I've got huge dogs, those type of things. And he asked me, so how do you reach people? I said to him, Pastor Weston, that's a good question. That's really a good question, okay? Because I don't think Windhoek City is that dangerous. There's crime, yes, it is. But if you look around in the neighborhoods around where we are right now, okay, you will see huge amounts, even security cameras and all those type of things. Now, isn't that the manifestation, okay, just maybe, yes, people take measures to keep burglars or thieves or whatever out, yes, okay, but isn't it also something saying, kind of, leave me alone, I want privacy, don't disturb me, you know, that type of thing? I think so. I think in this city, a lot of people live in a place where it's like, I'm building this wall around me, and I'm living my life, and, you know, don't disturb me, in a sense. We had a very nice conversation about this, because where he comes from, the walls aren't higher than this. There's not even walls. It's not necessary. People probably trust each other a lot more in that community. Now, we can come back again to where I started. In this world, nations, people don't trust each other. People don't love each other. That is why everyone, or the top 100 countries in this world, are spending massive, massive amounts of money on weapons and stuff to either be on the advance and, you know, or basically to protect themselves. And also in this city, I've told my wife a few times, I'm sure if you are in the business of putting up electric fences, you will never run out of business, because there's like kilometers and miles of electric fences in the city where we live. And I'm not sure if we were to walk from door to door, how many people will invite you and say, please come in and sit with me. It's almost this distrust. Who's that person? Do I know him? Does they have an agenda? Do they want money? Whatever. You know, people are, can you relate with what I'm saying this morning? I think it was an excellent question that Pastor Weston was asking that morning. So for us here this morning, as we sit here, okay, I think most of us call ourselves Christians. And as I prayed here, and it's something that's been in intercession, I've seen it a lot of time. I listened to, just recently on the long weekend, I made some time to listen to Pastor Mac Adamis, and his wife were here, and Dean, early in the year, listened to a sermon that he preached, listened to a sermon that Pastor Sias, that many of you have, that you know, that he also preached. And they were basically preaching on stuff like urgency, you know, following Jesus, you know, not being religious, type of things like that. And I want to read to you a scripture also from John 12, verse 24 to 26. John 12, 24 to 26. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now, it's always, no matter what season you're in, if you read that scripture, it's challenging. Okay? When we become Christians, we die. We die to ourselves. Do you agree with me? That's why we are baptized. Okay? The new person, the old person. That's why we baptize people that becomes Christians. Now, this thing about a seed or a little grain of seed or something falling to the ground and die, then it will bear much fruit. Okay? I'm not so clever on that, but certain times of the year, you prune trees, okay? That in the springtime and in the summertime, it will bear much more fruit. And for us here this morning, you know, I think God has been really speaking to us as a church, and I know a lot of you will nod your heads because we've been praying together. I think God is doing something where we really want to change our hearts. I promise you, or I'm very sure when I say, none of us, most of us, really don't need more teaching. We don't need that much more doctrine. I think I'm convinced, you know, that most of us know enough to be pastors in many parts of the world. Okay. We've got a lot of solid doctrinal foundation. I think what we need more is a change of hearts to really be able to penetrate the city, the guys behind the walls, the people who are afraid. Because I can tell you, if you go and do a little bit of research, go to YouTube and you go and Google World War III, you will find so many videos of people saying very close, only this or that must happen. And I'm sure, friends, I don't think we will survive another another world war. A lot of us are young men, so probably we will be fighting or something. Maybe, Richard, you will stay home being an intercessor and pray for us because you are wise. I think it's foolish to go to wars. But nevertheless, friends, there's something where we can individually and corporately ask ourselves. Now, just a bit of honesty here this morning, you know. I've been sitting in church also myself many times. And, you know, you listen to pastors and people and you think, good sermon, bad sermon. Okay, he's got a good point. Ah, maybe not today. This one is not that much for me, etc., etc. But I want to challenge you this morning. Go home and ask God or the Holy Spirit, go and ask him, Lord, what must die in me that I can bear more fruits? There was people that prayed before the time and said it. I think JP, didn't you pray it as well? You know, that thing about things in our lives that need to die, that God can use us more. And one of the biggest things is the me, myself, and I thing. You know, my will, my this. What does the Lord prayer says? Lord, let your will be done. Okay? So it's so easy for us to put me, myself, in front of everything. And then secondly, basically, very easy one, fear of man. We are all so afraid many times what our families will say. I remember when I left South Africa, come to Namibia to pastor this church. Man, I can tell you long stories about what certain people told us even before we became pastors. Okay? And that you will always get it. If you stand up and share the word, people will tell you you're out of your mind or you're this or you're that. That happens. Probably many of you have experienced it some or other time in your life. So just a little one or two things here on John 12 this morning. Don't miss the glory in this hard life of being a Christian. Basically, it says, I'm just going to, on the tough side and then on the positive side, it says, we die, and in positive, we bear much fruit. We hate our lives in this world, and on the other side, we keep our lives for eternal life. We follow Jesus Christ on the Calvary Road. We join Jesus where He is in His glory. And lastly, we become servants. The Father will honor us. Something we must ask ourselves. I think many of us, it's like almost water will always take the most, the road that's the easiest. It will flow where it can. And many of us are similar to that. We will say, oh God, I'll change next time. Or maybe, Lord, maybe the people around me will change and then the church will be this or that. Or we think like that, you know. I think like that many times. That's why I'm taking it back to that, still dealing with the Pharisee things in our own lives. So I think it's really a challenging thing because we read here, let me just give it to you in Galatians 5, verse 24. It says, now those who belong to Christ Jesus has crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So are there any passions and desires still alive and kicking in your life, in my life? Okay. So we have to ask ourselves, what must die today? What does God want out? And then I know what He wants to put in. He wants to put in 1 Corinthians 13. That love, I believe He wants to flood in our lives. If you were to ask me this today, what is God speaking to us as a church about? What is He saying to us? I'll tell you. Getting serious, getting real, and getting out there. Getting serious, getting real, getting out there. Okay? Because something's wrong if stats says 80 to 90% of Namibians are Christians and society looks the way it does. And I'm not saying I'm the best citizen around. Probably there's people in my own street that I also don't know perfectly well or who I've never ministered to or anything like that. Okay? I'm not saying it from a place of I'm getting it right perfectly. It's something that basically Scripture is holding before us, something we can grow and work to. John 15, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Romans 5, verse 8. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 13, verse 8 to 10. Owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And any other commandment are summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfilling of the law. Once again, if we have to go back and ask ourselves, the world is spending massive, massive, massive amounts of money on military, okay? How can it be? How can it make sense? How can it be that we are allowed, where does government get money from? Taxes from guys like me and you. So in a sense, we are funding all this spending. The normal guys like you and me, we are funding governments to spend money, you know, on guns and stuff like that. And Scripture says to us, love bears all things. Love hope for all things. Okay? Love isn't this. Love is that. It's such a contradiction regarding the world where we live in. If you go and read the Scriptures, and it just takes me back. I remember it was in February. Pastor Nadine was preaching here, and she used Ezekiel 47 about the river. And I think back this year, and I think there's been so many sermons this year about challenging us to get to a place of going deeper in the river, living more in faith, you know, those type of things. And this morning, friends, we have to ask ourselves a few serious questions regarding love in our lives. Here on this Easter weekend, you know, where it's all about Jesus Christ and Him dying on a cross, but not hanging there anymore, being resurrected. So I've got something on my heart this morning, something differently, and that's probably why I also pray that there won't be any spectators here. Okay, it's not a movie where we sit back, it's church, it's something active, okay? So when I came here this morning, I had something on my heart, shared a few scriptures with the intercessors, and then I said to them, what I feel, what I want to invite you to do this morning, and JP, you and the worship team, you guys can come to the front. I want to invite you this morning that we pray together as a church, okay? I'm not going to pray for all of us, but I want to give opportunity. I want, especially the people there at the back, if you are free and you're willing and you can come to the front maybe, I want to ask you, JP, they're going to lead us in a song now, and I want you to come and pray. I want you to come and actually prophesy, to come and speak life over our church, over us as the family of this church, okay? And I really trust God that our lives, we need to really start to trust God for big things. And I'm the first one that's saying amen to that. We really have to in this broken world, okay? And I'm not talking about we are this holy huddle type of church and the world out there is bad and be careful of the world and the this and the that. Christ called us to be in this world, okay, and make a difference, to be the salt and the light. And I just have it on my heart this morning to, while we are just a handful of people here on this long weekend, I want to ask you, if you have something to come and pray here this morning, and I'm just cautioning, this is not a open platform to say just what you want to. I'm talking about coming to say and pray something in line what I've shared this morning. Something regarding love, something about taking something false, something Pharisee-like, out of your life, out of our lives, okay? And replacing with the love of God, that pure, unconditional love, okay? So I'm going to stand here, and I want to invite you, please come and stand here close, and then we worship. And if you feel you want to pray or speak life over something, please come and do it this morning, that it can be something corporate we're doing, and not something just like individually. You with me? Amen. Please come and stand at the front. I really want everyone here. Okay, we're a family. We're not just... You don't have to pray something or say something, but just come and stand close, yeah. Please.
Lord Jesus, and for you to open up our heart eyes, Lord Jesus, where we see everything from your point of view and not from our brokenness or our hurt from this world, Almighty God. And Father, we just want to praise your holy name because you don't want us to be perfect. You want us to be just the way we are, and you use it. You use whatever we bring to you. Everything that we bring to you, you use, Almighty God. But Father, today I pray that may we bring our whole heart, our whole bodies, our whole spirit, our whole flesh, resources, everything, Lord Jesus, that we have, that may we bring it to you and be obedient, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. And the second thing, I was reading in the book of Acts, it was basically talking about Paul when he went to Jerusalem, and the Lord told him he must rejoice because he's going to send him to Rome. And he did not know what that journey would entail. And it basically led to him being in jail. It led him to being accused and all the bad things that happened to him. And I remember reading that and saying to myself, yo, this man is bold. You still want to go to Rome after all this? You know, I would have stopped halfway. But at that moment, I wanted to have that boldness like that he has, to go out and not hold myself back because I'm being persecuted or people don't agree with what I'm sharing or, you know, stuff like that. And I feel the Lord wants that for the church as well, to have that boldness where you just stand and speak what you need to speak when you need to speak it. And I'm going to pray for us again. Father, we just come before you, mighty God, and we give you praise that you say you would not withhold any good thing from us, almighty God, but you give us everything good, Lord Jesus. And if you give us all good things, that means we shouldn't hold back the good things that you're giving to us. We must also share with other people. And Father, I just pray for that boldness to speak, boldness to share, boldness not to be afraid of people's status or social classes or whatever it is, Lord Jesus, but that we know that you are God, is the King of everything. And it is you that we're supposed to fear, nobody else, almighty God. And Father, I pray for that heart, Lord Jesus, that will stand and say, because my Lord has spoken, I will do. Because my Lord is with me, I am going. Father, I just pray for that, Lord Jesus. And I really pray for that heart of unity, for that heart of where we can send each other out and bless one another and cover one another in prayer, almighty God. And just bless your name. Just glorify you, Lord Jesus. And bless the nation and reach out to the nation, Lord Jesus, and not be stopped by walls or anything, Lord Jesus, that can stand in our way, Lord Jesus, that we'll know that you are greater than anything on this earth, because you have made this earth and everything is in the palm of your hand. So may we believe when you say you have created everything and you have given us authority over everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just something that the Lord laid on my heart. It's amazing just the way that it flows. I just wanted everybody to look at the person around, or all the people around you. Look at them. See them. And ask yourself, how can I love these people? And this is the easy part. Because we should be known by our love for each other. But how do we love each other? How do we show that love? How do we show that affection? And the difficult part comes, how do we show this to the world? How do we love the world? And it's where Christ is just that amazing example of where he just loves unconditionally in the way that he did and what he did, that he just gave his life. If he deserved it or not, he didn't care. He just gave his life so that we can have it. We have the choice. It's just a question of how do we love the people around us, where we work, when we go on missions. What do they need? I mean, that's a specific thing that God shows us, and only He can show us. Because in ourselves, we are incapable of loving them. But people cannot resist the love of Christ. They want it. And once they realize that, they are attracted to it. Father God, I just pray, Father, that we will be a church, Father, that's full of love, Lord God, for you, and not only for you, for each other as well, Lord God, that people will know us by our love for each other, Father God, and that love will drive people towards you, Lord God, not only towards you, but towards your church as well, Father, where we can be a church, Father, that loves people, Lord, and they will know and truly know that they are loved within this house, Lord God. Father, that you take us, Lord, that you use us, Father, in the way that You used yourself, Lord God, as a sacrifice, Lord, to love unconditionally, Lord God, that we are able, Lord, to love those people around us, Lord God, to love the world out there, Father, that's so desperate for this love, Lord God, but that we can do it in a practical way, Father God, not in some way of dream, Father, but it's something practical we can take out there, give to people, Father, their heart's desires, Lord God, and just bring them to a place, Father, where they can feel safe, Father, where they can just surrender, Lord, and know that this is the place, Father, where you have called them, Lord God, where you have called them to change, Lord, to experience your love, Lord God, and not only experience it, Lord God, but give it away as well, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, for that amazing love that you have in our hearts, Lord God. We have in our hearts for you, Father God, that you gave to us first, Father, that choice, Lord God, that we can accept, Lord, freely and unconditionally, Father, that we can also take it to those, Lord, that are in desperate need of it out there, Father God. We just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, Lord, of realizing, Lord, that we are your instruments, Lord God. We are plan A, Father, and there's no plan B, Father God. We just ask, Father, that the Holy Spirit, you would lead us, Father. You would just give us that amazing guidance, Lord, of people out there, Lord, that we can have a word of wisdom, Lord. Give them a hug, Lord God, whatever. Lord, you learn our hearts, Lord, that you know what they need, Father, that we are able to give, Lord, out of ourselves, Lord, unselfishly, Lord God, and sacrificially as well, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that we can be that house, Lord, of love, Lord. There's that platform where people can come into, Lord God, and just experience how they can be built up in you, Lord God. How you can restore them, Father. How you can bring back that joy, Father, that they've never experienced in their lives, Lord God. We just pray, Father, this will be a house, Lord, where people can experience that amazing love, that amazing joy, Father, that comes with knowing you, Lord, accepting your love, accepting your sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Anyone else?
Yes, guys, we must just come in agreement when people is praying in front of you. Agree in your heart. This is a form of intercession as well, praying things into being that are going to take place. This is how things start, you know. God does the work, but we have to pray them into being. And you guys must agree in prayer. This is intercession.
Good morning. I just want to read out of Psalms 2 verse 8 and says, "Ask of me and I will make the nations your inheritance and the ends of the earth your possession." I just want to say that, you know, just like in line with the scripture that I also read, you know, like that Christ showed his love for us, that while we are still sinners, he sent his son to die for us, and we are sinners, you know. And the same thing, you know, we look at this world, we look at our nation, and we see a lot of people that you know, there's a lot of things happening, gender-based violence and a lot of murderings and so forth. And what I just want to say is that just as God says we can ask of him and he'll give us the nations, you know, we should really press into that thing of, you know, when we were out there, somebody pursued God, pursued the heart of God, and they prayed and, you know, they went out and then we were reached and we're here now, you know. We should never give up on this thing, because this is just this very same way that God called us into the kingdom and called us here. Yeah, just so that.
I just want to pray for us. I just sense, just like Father God in the mighty heaven, Lord, we just want to give you glory, honor, and praise, Father God. Holy Spirit, we want to say thank you, Lord, that Father God, just like we're celebrating Easter, Father God, that Jesus, you responded to our fallenness, Father God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that today we can trust you and say, Lord, Father God, that you respond to our imperfect state, Father God. You do not respond to our perfect state this morning, Father God. And Lord, we just want to pray, Holy Spirit, just like as we come into full agreement of that, how do we love one another around us? How can we take this love out there, Father God? And Lord, this morning I just want to pray, Father God, for brokenness this morning, Father God. For Lord, like you say in your word in the book of Luke, Father God, that Lord, the eye is the light of the soul, Father God.
And Lord, when it's dark, Father God, we can also, our conscience is also dark. But Father God, when there's light, Father God, and Lord, this morning, we want to trust you for light, Father God, to come and enter our souls, Father God, to come and enter our bodies, Father God. Lord, we want to trust you, Father God, this morning, Lord. I sense a revelation of Ezekiel chapter 16, 1 to 5, that speaks of salvation, Father God. And Lord, like you say in your word, Father God, that no, in those, that scripture speaks of the fact that nobody looked at you, or nobody saw how you are. Nobody cut the umbilical cord because nobody cared. Father God, this morning we just want to pray, Holy Spirit, Lord, that you will birth the heart that cares in us, Father God. The heart that turns, Lord, Father God, to see the baby that is lying in the blood this morning, Father God. When I cry out, Father God, when I trust you, Lord, for salvation this morning, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord.
I also sense where God is saying that his name is I Am. That means he's constant. He's the same. He doesn't change. And the same God that was there before is the same God that we serve. And he is alive. And I really just pray that our hearts and our eyes will open to an understanding of who our God is. Because if we understand who our God is, then we'll not hold on to ourselves. Then we'll not keep ourselves back from God. Because he's everything, literally, he's everything.
I just sense, like Carol said at the beginning, that we shouldn't be spectators this morning. And I also just sense in my heart that one great thing that keeps us away from Jesus is when we think that we can't, or we are not able, or that we are imperfect, or the sin that might be residing in our lives. I really just sense that this morning, Lord, I just really strongly sense that the Lord just wants to bring healing. He wants to bring breakthrough. And if we can also just respond. I also just sense this morning that there are some people here that's maybe sitting and sensing in their heart or thinking in their hearts that nobody has loved me the way that these people are talking about this love. Nobody has ever showed me this love. No, we can't, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we can just trust that the Lord just wants to meet you this morning, wherever you are. And he wants to show you. He wants to lavish upon you that love that calls you from darkness into light, that love that calls you his son or his daughter, that love that releases you from bondage and sin, that love that calls upon you when you have never been called before, that love that calls you by your name when you've never been called. I really just sense so strongly in my heart this morning that the Lord really just wants to bring breakthrough. The Lord wants to bring deliverance this morning, that if we can only just respond, if we can only just come, if we can only just humble ourselves this morning, that the Lord will bring the healing. Lord, I just want to trust you this morning for breakthrough and for healing this morning, Father God. Lord, we just want to trust you, Lord, for hearts this morning that will not be afraid, that will not be filled with pride, that will not be filled with any resentment or any, or whatever it is that the enemy might be laying on our hearts this morning. Lord, we just want to trust you, Father God, that you are the God, Father God,
The God of creation, the God that calls us. As we just want to trust you this morning, Father God, for Lord, you say in your word, Father God, that when you were in our mother's womb, you already approved of us. And Lord, we want to pray this truth this morning over each and every heart. Lord, that we are not a mistake in this world. That we are not a coincidence in this world, Father God, but you have called us, Lord. That you have called us from a place of love, Lord. And this morning, when I respond to that love, that amazing love, Father God, that unconditional love that loves us unconditionally, even when we are not perfect, even when we are not getting it right, Father God, you love us, Lord. And we just want to respond to that this morning, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord.
Yes, Father, thank you for your spirit in all of us, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, for every saint's prayer this morning, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, we are just acknowledging, Lord God, how empty we are without your love, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, that we can't change this world on our own strength, our own ability, anything. That we need you so much, Father God. And I thank you for every prayer, every cry that went out, Lord God. And thank you, Lord God, that you're here, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, for radical change, Lord God, in our lives, Lord God, for the better, Lord God. Yes, Lord God, that the fruits that we carry, Lord God, will be so heavy, Lord God, that the branches, Lord God, it seems that it will break, Lord God. But Father, that those fruits, Lord, that it won't be for us to say that, look at my fruits, Lord, that it's your fruits, Lord God. And yes, Lord God, that you will take us from glory to glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for praying with us. Thank you for interceding. There's people with a voorskoot there at the back. They're going to serve you coffee or tea or something cold to drink. Please stay a while. Have some fellowship. Get to know someone you haven't spoken before. Have a wonderful Sunday. And tomorrow, enjoy the public holiday.